The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, we're going to continue here in our text series. This is week two. So we're looking at, obviously, text is God's Word, and so that's what we're going to be looking at during this series. Pastor John is not here, obviously, because you don't see him. He is being a dad, which is also an important part of, you know, what we all do with our, you know, family responsibilities and things like that. He's down in Winston-Salem with his oldest daughter's soccer tournament. And so there, again, we pray for safety and everything down there. And this is week two of our series. He's going to be back next week, you know, and the following week. It's a four-week series as we're going into it. So I do want to first say that I want to thank a few people, because whenever we get up and share sermons, it's rarely ever just from us sharing. It's from God working on us and working on the scripture and working on the text and having some good encouragement. I want to say thanks to Dave Moorhead, one of our newer folks with us. He met with me on Friday and kind of heard we were talking about. Dave, you can wave so everyone knows who you are. Thank you. And just kind of met and, you know, gave some encouragement and also just knew that we're in a text series, and he's very educated and very wise, and has, you know, been in ministry. And let me borrow a book, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. I'm going to reference it later. I certainly think you should try to get one. We're going to try to get some copies, but I want to say thank you for that. And also to Dave Matters. Dave gives me great encouragement. He heads up our science and transportation team, and we're in small group together, and just the way God gets you close to different people, he's been giving me great encouragement and prayer and all that for this whole week. So I just want to say thank you to you guys for, again, it's never just about one person. It's about, you know, God just working and moving, and it's good. So let's do this. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's just get ourselves focused before this morning, because we have so much going on. So let's just, again, let's have it quiet just for a little bit. And just pray. Say, Jesus, speak to me this morning. Kind of clear our minds and our culture and everything moving and technology and all this, all good. But we've got to kind of, let's just focus. Let's just say, Jesus, speak. Again, we believe he will. We believe he does. We believe his spirit's in this room in a very powerful way, because that's what he tells us in Scripture. So let's just clear our minds for a few seconds, and then I'm just going to pray just after a little bit. Anything from your week, say, God, remove it so I can be focused. Jesus, thank you for this time. Let us stay focused. Let us hear from you. Thank you that you tell us that this is your word. It's your living scriptures that cuts us deep. It lets us know who we really are. And let us be focused now. And just thank you for this group that are here this morning. And let us be changed because of your power and your word in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to start in Psalm 19, 7 through 14. We're just going to go through a passage from the scripture here. So if you have your Bibles, some call the actual Bibles that we talked about last week, a lot of different versions are now the analog Bibles, and then these are digital now, whether iPhone or, you know, phone or iPad. So either one works. Having a, you know, physical one you can make notes in is very spiritual. Having a you know, technology one that you can make notes in, again, it's all about heart. It's all about His Word. And so, you know, whichever one you have is great. I'm going to read 7 through 14 of Psalm 19, just to kind of get us started here. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We could do a whole sermon on, sermons series just on those seven verses. We're not going to do that. But that kind of gives us a foundation of his word, his scripture, all those things that we want to understand his position as we get into this. As we get into the next few weeks, it's going to be a little bit more of the practical side of, why should we believe the Bible? Is it authoritative? Some kind of examples from history and research and things like that John's going to get into. But what my recommendation or my thought is that we're going to agree that it's God's word. And we're going to dive into it. And again, don't just take my word for it. Don't take John's word for it. Study it for yourselves. Understand why you believe what you believe. But we're gonna go from that setting today. In your guides, you should have a fill-in-the-blank sheet if you want to follow along. It's going to be a long front and back sheet that is going to be there in the notes as we continue here, as we move forward. So, first thing, the first point there is that God's word is our provision from him. Reading those verses, hearing about what it is, it's more precious than gold, it's what we should be living in day in and day out, so we understand that it is our provision from him. And this is something that's all through Scripture, is that God giving provision, when it is needed. We're going to go back in Exodus 16:4, says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." So the principle there is, he said he gave enough for each day. Okay, and so we see that many times we want all of God like right now. Like we want to know every single provision, and there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with asking for plans and making those decisions. But there is an aspect of being faithful to him daily and understanding that he's going to give provision daily. And so this is something even that the Lord's Prayer is based on, Matthew 6:19-13. Probably you guys have probably heard the Lord's Prayer, right? Matthew 6:19-13. And if you want to read it aloud with me, you can. But this is based right out of Matthew 6:9-13. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And so, in our community group, we're doing Crazy Love, which is a great study, and it's kind of talking now about, we don't want to say prayers just for them to become, meaningless. And many times we've kind of said this Lord's Prayer over and over again, but it is a great foundation piece. That in it, it's saying, give us this day our daily bread, which comes back from the passage that we just read in Exodus, that God gave his people the manna every day, the provision every single day. So there's definitely a component of our relationship that should be a daily following. A getting from the word, hearing the provision, and doing that whole daily thing. And so understanding that, he's going to give what we need for for each day is sometimes very hard, because we want to know what it's going to be 30 days from now or 6 months from now. And many times, as we see in other parts of Scripture, it's following after him one step at a time. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he had to take that first step of faith. And so we want to know what the 20th step is, but God wants us to know that daily provision. He's going to give it daily. We're going to find it daily, which is another reason for us to be able, that we should be in the Word and understanding he's going to be giving it to us. So there's just a lot through Scripture about that provision and that he's given it and that we have to trust. And it doesn't say that they were to gather enough food for days and days and days. It said they gather enough for the day and he's going to get them through it. So it's hard walking in that whole faith thing. But we also, as we're doing that, want to make sure that our prayers are meaningful and that we're focused. And so we know the Lord's Prayer, but we also want to know the foundation of it. So as we're looking at that and seeing that, we believe it's his word. We believe that it is our provision. We need to have the right perspective of him. Because again, back to our community group, as we're going through this, many times we have a limited view of God. So when we're praying or thinking or we've got these problems, we think he's small and we need to have the right aspect. And one of the things during the study is called, there's a video we're going to watch here in just a second, called the awe factor. Because what it should do is put God in the right perspective. Because as we're reading his word, there's a lot about perspective that we should be doing. So again, we're going to watch the screens. It's called the awe factor from Crazy Love from Francis Chan.
What you're seeing right now, first of all, this is the earth, okay? Just you're taken off from the earth from Southern California, and we're gonna rise up for a little bit here, okay? We're going to pull away from it. We're going to pull higher. Now, this is at about 10 kilometers. Like if you climb Mount Everest, this is what you'd see. You'd see the curvature of the earth from that distance. Now we're gonna climb up even higher. This is at 100 kilometers. And you're a fourth of the way to the space station now. This is what you'd see. If you get to this level, you're considered an astronaut. Just if you ever get there. Okay, now we're going 100,000 kilometers. 100,000 kilometers from the Earth. You're a fourth of the way to the moon. That's what the Earth would look like. Now we're going to pull away to 1,000,000 kilometers. At 1,000,000 kilometers, there's the moon. Okay, there's the moon. You can barely see the Earth. You're at 1,000,000 kilometers now. You're past the moon, and now we're going to go to 100,000,000 kilometers. 100,000,000 kilometers. You're still not to the sun. The sun's 93 million miles away, but now we're going to go to 10 trillion kilometers. There's the sun. Okay, you just passed the sun. Now you would see all of the planets at 10 trillion kilometers, and now we're at 10 to the 15th power. That means 10 with 15 zeros. I don't know what that number is. 15 zeros, and the sun's just like a bright dot amidst other stars. And now we're going to 10 light years away. At 10 light years away, come on, let's go. Zoom, there you go. 10 light years away. Now you just see the sun with like 11 other stars that are kind of its neighbors. You know, that's our sun. And now we're going to go 1,000 light years away. At 1,000 light years away, you wouldn't even see our sun anymore. These are just a bunch of stars close to it in this cluster inside the Milky Way. Now we're going to zoom out even further, and that's the Milky Way we live in. See that cluster of stars? Those are about 100,000 stars that are closest to our sun. You can't see our sun anymore at this point. Now this is our Milky Way galaxy, and forget about the Earth. Okay, there's our Milky Way galaxy that we live in. And we're just buried in there somewhere. And we're going to pull out even further, and you'll see that our galaxy is actually, it's a big galaxy, and all those other things you're seeing now are galaxies. And we're going to pull away 10 million light years now. His next scene is 10 million light years. Those are all galaxies you see amidst our Milky Way, several hundred galaxies. Now we're going to go 100 million light years away. This is the last one. We're going to zoom out to 100 million light years. Those are all clusters of galaxies. Galaxies and clusters of galaxies. You won't even see our Milky Way galaxy anymore amidst that. We don't have telescopes that go beyond that little sphere there.
Thank you. So, again, I'm not a scientist. There's great technology. So that should get the awe factor that God is bigger than us, right? And it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, his creativity, his, you know, things about, sorry, if that was my fault, things about him, again, and we're like, even he couldn't see the earth. So we should feel that he's big, his word is important, and somehow, so there should be that healthy fear of him, but also in that he loves each one of us. It says he knows the numbers of hair on our head, which is easier for some of us than for others, probably, for them to figure that out. But that he cares that much. And so it's like both, that only God, God's bigger. So that is important as we talk about his word and talk about being in it and talk about, well, is it really the Bible? Was it really translated down? We're going to get more into that. He's big enough to make a lot of other stuff kind of happen and galaxies work and the sun spin or you know what I mean? And so we're just going to have that understanding of him as we continue through here. So the next part of the notes here on the flip side, the reliability and authority of the Bible require a response from us. So I've got four things that I suggest. One, we should believe it. We should believe it because of what we see in Scripture and how big God is. And actually, you've got a verse listed there, Hebrews 11, 11 through 12. I'm actually not going to do that verse. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong one, Austin. My fault. If you just write there, if you're taking out 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and you don't even need to pull it up. You guys can look at it later. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's from him. It says it's useful for teaching, correction, training in righteousness, so that we can be equipped for every good work. Basically, this is his word. We should be in it. And there's, again, great things for us to understand. We should believe it. So 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Sorry for that error. So scratch the other verse out there under believe. Next one, too. We should study it. Believe that we should study it. Joshua 1, 8. I believe everything else is right, Austin. Thank you. Joshua 1, 8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Talking about, at that point, the Old Testament, the book of the law. Now, for us, the scriptures, that we should be meditating on it. We should study it. 2 Timothy 2:15 is another verse there under it. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and, so, I'm sorry, yes. Do your best to present yourself to God. The workman approved, doesn't need to be ashamed right here, who correctly handles the word of truth. So what we see there is that we can't correctly handle it if we don't study it, right? So we need to be understanding that we want to doing that as we study it. Next one, for three. We should obey it. Again, perspective of God. It matters a lot how we view God, how we see him, which hopefully that helped us today. Romans 16:26 says, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings, the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. So again, we want to make sure that we're in it and that we are obeying it. Another verse there, Luke 11, 28. Luke 11, 28 said, he replies, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. We're going to get a little bit further into hearing and listening. Many times we can hear things, but we don't put it into practice. So it is important for us to hear it and also for us to, you know, put it into practice by obeying it. And four, we should protect our hearts from anything that would restrict truth. This is key. The enemy will want to not have us in the Word. He will want us to not be focused on all this stuff. So Matthew 13, 20 through 33, and this is in my version, it's in red letters, which from our last series, what does that mean if it's in red letters? Do what? Means that? Jesus said it. It's words of Jesus. In the New Testament, he's right, it's the words of Jesus here as the red letters. It's Matthew 13, 20 through 23. Actually, I'm going to start back in 18. It says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown into their heart. This is the seed sown among the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So we see in that we want to have the right kind of heart, the right kind of soil, as it refers to, which we understand that certainly this time, it's the time to get stuff planted or your plants from last year coming up. Like, we understand that, right? Soil's important. Watering, I don't know any of that. I'm not good at any of that, but I know that those things are important. And so we want to make sure we're having the right kind of hearts, you know, hearing his word and putting this parable into practice, because we don't want to restrict hearing from the truth as we do that. So next on, understanding that, now we have some tips for us to be better God listeners. Okay, again, this now goes through the fill in the blanks, which is quite a few. So if you miss some, they'll be up on the screen. And, you know, I just want to make sure that we, you know, move forward understanding all of these things, that we all want to be better God listeners. We want to hear more from the scriptures. So these are just some tips to help us all get there. One, we should expect God to speak. And sometimes it kind of stops here for us, because we might know the right things to say, or we might believe he's God and he's big, or what, but we truly don't have, I have expectations or perspective are important in any relationship, especially with God. If you're talking to someone, to your spouse, to your best friend, and you're talking, but you're like asking them questions, but you're not really expecting them to talk back to you, then you might not really be, you know, putting your whole heart into it, right? And so the same thing, many times, we, from all different backgrounds, and again, all of us are guilty of this at different times, we're talking to God, or we're saying, God, speak to me through your word, but deep down, we're like, well, are we really expecting him to do that? And so we have to understand he's, you know, get that right perspective, focus on him. He is big enough, and expect him. There's a lot in scripture about having expectations, praying and having faith, expecting that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. So that it starts there. Next one, we want to invite God's help, okay? All through scripture, saying, if you need wisdom, ask me for it. If you need help, ask. So as we're praying, as we're reading scripture, as we get into it, say, God, I don't understand what this means. Please speak to me. Please let me know. Again, many times he may give help for us understanding more through someone else, right? Through someone in our community group, someone in our family, someone further along the road with Christ, or that we're walking with life together. We need to ask for help, and you know that's going to happen. The next one, kind of tip for us to be better in the word here, is to set a regular time and place for devotional reading, study, and prayer. Now, there's a big sentence under it that I couldn't find the right words how to say it that sounded maybe a little bit more personal or whatever, but relational change is proportionate to time spent communicating. I think we can understand this. What time we put into our relationships, that's what we're going to get out of it. If I would never talk to my wife, it would be a lot less of a relationship. Like, you know, we understand that. Now, God is big. God can break through. He's way bigger than us. We understand that. And it will help us if we have a regular time and place. Again, we're talking about this in our Crazy Love study. Even last week, we said, well, you know, wondering is there a certain place that we have to go, whatever. It is a personal thing. And there is, you know, all through scripture, there's, you know, about praying in prayer closets and having a time with the Lord, and have these things are important, but it's going to be different for each one of us, because he's big enough to love each of us differently. Some of you, it might be in the morning. Some of you, it might be at night. Some of you, it might be, you know, all different times. And some love to be outside. Some hate to be outside. You know, all different. Some would love to be at Starbucks. Some would love to be in the cubicle. It, you know, whatever works for us in our relationship, that's going to be helpful. because anything, you know, if we set some regular things, that makes it better. But here's the deal. There's also grace there, right? If you always start in the morning and you go to the same place and you miss it that one day, don't think that I didn't get to go to this particular spot, and so now, you know, God's not going to speak to me. It isn't like that. You know, we like to have those routines. We like to, you know, understand these things because it's going to be helpful, but if we miss it, it's okay, right? That's just going to help us as we move forward. Next one, have a consistent reading plan. Consistent reading plan. But what's important here too, quality, not quantity. You guys, we all understand that. It is important to be consistent, but again, and there's lots of different plans. We have a reading through the Bible plan back on the back table. We've got our daily bread. We've got plans. The whole part is that we are wanting to grow. Because if we ask each other, hey, I read 40 chapters today doing it. Great. Well, you know, what'd you get out of it? Nothing. Then that's not worth it. It may be one verse, right? As we're reading through, and God speaks differently at different days, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. If you're reading through that one day, we stop there, we read that one verse, you may ponder that all day. We may think through that and say, what does that mean? It means that he felt. It means that he understands us, you know, what we're going through. So it's certainly about quality versus quantity. You understand? We want to be consistent. We want to do things, but it's more about heart and about what we're going to get from it. And if it's one verse that day, great. If it's 10, fine. If we're rolling and God's speaking, you know what I'm saying? Where it makes sense as we're going through that. So, and again, those plans, if you're interested in them, just to kind of help with the consistency, these plans are in the back there to read through the Bible, you know, in a year if you want. And again, if you're on a day and you get more out of it, then wait for the next one. It just kind of helps out. And again, our daily bread that's back there. And as we talked last week, we have YouVersion. A lot of you guys on the phones or on iPad, YouVersion. There's tons of plans, tons of different things for us to be doing. So if you need help, we'd love to help find one for you. Next one, hear from his word in the right context. In the right context. Week 4 of this study, John's going to be going into how to study the Bible a little bit more in depth than I'm going to do this morning. But what's important to ask, who, what, why, where, when, all these things. Because if we just read one verse that we might pull out of context and we don't understand what's going on, then we can get ourselves into trouble. And maybe you've heard that in different, you know, churches or different religions or whatever. There's always some things when we don't hear from it in the right context that gets into trouble. I'll just give you an example. Philippians 4:13, one of very quoted verse. Does anyone know Philippians 4:13? There you go. Thank you, Mr. Barber, brother-in-law, baby. He's ready. I'll give you a sticker right here. It's good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we just hear that verse, okay, and don't understand the context of it, we could get ourselves into trouble. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which some of us think, okay, then I can do anything, God give me strength, right? But that would be very silly to say, well, hey, I want to leave my wife, God give me strength. Or I want to let my kids do whatever they want, so give me strength in that, right? It would be silly if we just focus on that one verse. But for us to say this was a letter written to churches. This was again two churches, and we look at verses that are nearby it. It's Paul talking about being able to be content in all circumstances. He's being persecuted. He's going through a tough time as he's trying to advance the gospel. This church is there for him. He's concluding his letter and saying, you know, if I have a lot, if I have a little, I can be content, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So you guys understand that? That we read other verses, and if we pull it out of the right out of the wrong context, then that's going to be damaging to us. So that's why we have to, as we're reading through things, or as we're hearing from the Lord, as we're, you know, having our time, and you know, many times the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to us, we want to make sure that that's backed up in Scripture, right? We want to make sure that it all goes together. He's not going to call us to do something that's going to be outside of his character. It's going to, you know, make sense. It's going to, now it might be hard, it might be challenging, it might be, you know, God, what are you doing? But he's not going to call us to sin. He's not going to call us to do silly things. And so we need to make sure that we back it up with Scripture, with the Word, with praying, and with other believers as we can be there. Does that make sense? That we're in the right context. Okay. Next one. We want to decide to hear and listen. Understanding he has something to say to us every day, right? Many times we hear a lot. Hear, right? But do we listen to it? I think we've all been guilty of that, right? Spouses, friends, whatever. Oh yeah, sure, I hear you. Oh no, did you just hear what I said? Are you listening to me? And we want to make sure that we don't just read it and then not do what it says. Next one. We want to use use a journal. Okay? Discipline and story are important. Our discipline, hearing, and then maybe we're going through a rough time, we can go back to a time in our journal and say, wow, God was really doing something here. And all through Scripture are people's stories of being Christ followers as they were moving forward. So it might be helpful you get to share one day. You get to be a part of things that we understand that is important. Two more. We want to revisit our journals for correct reflection. Okay? Understand, get that right perspective, right? We want to go back to them, and we don't do this in our American culture enough, reflection. God, why are you doing this? What have you done? What have you brought me through? And then last one, don't let feelings drive our devotion time. Let hearing from his word direct our feelings. Okay? That should be the direction. Do we have feelings? Yes. Are we emotional? Yes. That is normal. But we can't let them run things. We've got to go to his word. We've got to understand, have these principles in place for us to be actually hearing from his word. Our two response songs, as we're going to move into that shortly today, are I Will Search and I Give You My Heart, which fits perfectly because we should be wanting to search the Scriptures. We should be wanting to do this. But if our heart isn't in it, okay, all of us, if our heart isn't in it, wanting to learn, wanting to be transformed by the word, then it isn't going to matter, right? Do we need to sometimes have consistency because we've committed to do something? Yes, we all understand that. We can't be driven by bad days and emotions. That's why all this stuff is important. But we want to make sure that we understand the word, we are in it, and we are hearing from him through the word, because that is our foundation. That's where we can be challenged. So, go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to move into a time of response. Band can come on up. We're going to get set. Just kind of, again, as we started, just with seeking him, clearing our minds, just kind of think through and understanding for all of it. To make sense, for it all comes down to heart, it all comes down to faith. In Hebrews it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So ultimately it comes down to, God, I want to be in your word. I want to be changed. I want to be different. You're here this morning, God could be speaking to you for lots of different things. And during our response time, we're going to have communion open. We do open communion here. Where if you believe in him, if you have a relationship with him, you can come. The bread represents his body, the cup represents his blood. But as well, it says in Scripture to make sure that we have clear minds, and that if things need to be straightened out prior to taking communion, make sure that you're praying through that. A little bit later in our response time, we're going to have a time for our offering. Also a way to, you know, to just respond and to worship. Some of you may need to commit to studying the word more, to get into a study more, to be baptized, prayer needs, all different things. As our worship song before was, freedom. We just want you to be able to respond. So I'm going to say a prayer, and we're going to enter into our response time, and let's just take in His Word, His Spirit, and just respond as we should. Jesus, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Let us be able to be students of it, learn about it, but just be with us now as we respond. Ask Your Spirit to be here moving. Let us feel You. Let us search You. We just thank You for this time as we respond. In Jesus' name.